Good morning. Welcome to Congregation of the Shorn Beis Medrash program. Wanted to have Rav Sacks on our Sunday morning shiurim. This week and next 2 weeks, Rav Sacks will be giving shiur here on Inyanei Pesach. This week's shiur is Refuah Shleima L'Chaim Yisasva Ben Chaya Mushkit, B'Kavod Gadol, Rav Sacks.
We find ourselves in the period of the year between Purim and Pesach, so I wanted to discuss in today's shiur some similarities and differences that we find between these two times of the year. We know, of course, that Pesach is among the Shalosh Regalim with an absolute mitzvah of Simcha and Isser Melacha, Chiyuv Suda, and yet the Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Hei that when it comes to Purim, the Megillah seems to record our celebration of Purim in different ways. Originally, Rav Yosef points out that Purim is described as being a time of Simcha Mishta V'yantiv. However, Lebasov, toward the end of the Megillah, Purim is described as being Yimei Mishta V'simcha. So Rav Yosef points to the obvious distinction that Yantiv is mentioned initially, however, in the later Psukim it is omitted. And therefore, Rav Yosef says as follows, that originally, it was thought that Yontif would apply even to Purim. Purim would have a certain Kedusha Sayyam, not min HaTorah, but rather Midrabanan. There would be an Issur Melacha when it comes to the time of Purim. With Basov, that was not true. Purim was established with elements of Simcha, but there is no Issur Melacha. And therefore, Yontif initially is found. However, with Basov, Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha Ksiv. The fact, however, that Purim is not a Yontif seems to point to other differences as well between Pesach as opposed to Purim. The obvious distinction is Issur Melacha. On Yontif, yes. On Purim, no. But if you look more carefully in the Pasuk, you find another difference as well. Initially, when Purim was thought to be established as a Yontif, the Pasuk tells us Simcha Mishteh V'Yontif. First Simcha, followed by Mishneh. Once that is not the case, that Purim was not Yantif, Yimei, Mishteh, V'Simcha Ksiv. Apparently, that now the order is flipped as well. Not Simcha or Mishteh, but rather Yimei, Mishteh, V'Simcha. And how do you account for that difference? It's as though that the Pasuk indicates that the fact that Purim was not established as a Yantif with an Issur Melacha not only impacted on that detail, but also it affected the nature of Simcha and the elements of Suda as well. When it comes, for example, to each and every Yantif, including Pesach, there is a pervasive element of Simcha. The Torah tells us, "V'samachta b'chagecha," one is obligated to rejoice, and no doubt, Simcha's Yantif extends to Suda. One of the reasons that we have a Suda's Yantif is because of the mitzvah of Simcha. That's the very first Chuvas Rabbi Kiveger, that when a person celebrates a Yantif Suda, there really are two aspects to it. One is the mitzvah of Oneg. Oneg not limited to Shabbos, but Oneg applies even on Yantif as well, and also an element of Simcha. Rabbi Kiveger points to what he writes as an interesting distinction. One could debate this distinction, but Rabbi Kiveger writes in the very first tshuva that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Oneg that applies to Yantif, but women are obligated in Simchas Yantif, and therefore when it comes to a Sudas Yantif, that men have two aspects, Oneg Simcha, women are obligated in Simchas Yantif but exempt from Oneg. Interesting, Rabbi Kiveger points out the obligation to have a Suda al Hapas, to have Lechem, that is a function of Oneg. And therefore he writes his Chiddush that women, when it comes to a Sudas Yantif, are not obligated to wash and to have Pas, but they are obligated to eat. And Rabbi Kiveger suggests an interesting Chiddush. If a person forgets, for example, to mention Ritzei, forgets to mention Yalav Yavol, the Mechaber writes in Kuf Peches, that it all boils down to whether you're obligated to have Pas or not. On Shabbos and Yantif, Pas was necessary, and therefore you forget to mention Ritzei Yalav Yavol, you must repeat. On Chol HaMoed, on Rosh Chodesh, there's no Chiyuv al Hapas. You forget that very same Yalav Yavol, you do not have to repeat. Rabbi Kiveger writes the Chiddush that women, if they forget to mention Yalav Yavol, the Sudas Yantif, do not have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. After all, they're not obligated in the full mitzvah of Oneg. They're only obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha. That's like Chol HaMoed, where there's a mitzvah, Simchas Yom Tov, there's no mitzvah, Oneg Yom Tov, and as such, women would not have to repeat the benching if they forget Yalav Yavo. Very great Kiddush, Rabbi Kvega writes in the very first Tshuva. But again, when it comes to Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of Simcha. If I were to ask you, is Simcha limited to Sudas Yom Tov, you'd say certainly not. But no, the mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Tov envelops, it permeates the entire day. The day is replete with Simcha. One of the manifestations of Simcha is to have a Sudas Yom Tov, but in no sense is it limited to that fact. But Simcha envelops the entire day. For example, one is not allowed to get married on Yom Tov. The Gemara's drasha v'samach v'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha also points out that that's an issur d'oraisa of getting married on Yom Tov, even on Chol HaMoed, not just simply because of the detail that you can't get married on Shabbos because of a kinyan problem. Forget about the kinyan problem, d'rabbanan, min haTorah. One cannot get married on Shabbos Yom Tov because of v'samach v'chagecha v'lo ishtecha on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed. That indicates that Simcha is something that extends the entire day. Avelos, certainly Avelos cannot coexist on Yom Tov. But the Gemara tells us, how can one experience Avelos simultaneous to that of Simcha? And therefore, Simcha envelops the entire day. In fact, if you look in the Rambam, Perek Vav of Hilchos Yom Tov, when the Rambam describes Simchas Yom Tov, the Rambam describes it in a comprehensive way. For example, that the men have to do that which elevates their message of Simcha. Basa v'yayin, the women, men are obligated to provide their wife with clothing on Yom Tov in order to elevate the lesson of Simcha. The Rambam writes that the children, you provide them with toys and so on in order to have that element of proper Simchas Yom Tov. It's clear. Obviously, when it comes to a sense of Yom Tov, the Simcha envelops the entire day. When you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Purim, the Rambam does not describe Simcha in that fashion. For example, when you look in the Rambam, Perek Beis Hilchot Hezvah v'Tochos Megillah, the Rambam begins with the following heading, Kesad Chovas Sudazu. What is the obligation of a Sudas Purim? Of a Sudas Purim. Under that heading, that's where the Rambam writes, Chayiv Inish L'Mesu B'Paraya, a person is obligated to drink somewhat on Purim. The Rambam places all of that under the heading of Sudas Purim. Kesar Chovas Sudazu. We even discussed in previous years, when you look in the Rambam, in that halacha, Beis Tezvav, in the next halacha, Beis Tezayin, that's where the Rambam mentions the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, of Matanos, of Yonim. You get the impression, according to the Rambam, that what is driving even those mitzvos is the broader Kesar Chovas Sudazu. As the Trimah Sedeshin writes, Kufir Aleph, that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to contribute to one's Sudas Purim. That certainly would not be true when it comes to Yom Tov. If one were to ask you, what is the nature of Simcha that we experience on Pesach, the answer would not be, well, everything is in the context, and the framework, and the structure of a Sudas HaPesach. That's one example, one manifestation of. But yet, when it comes to Purim, the Rambam places these halachos under that heading of Pesach Chovas Sudazu. For example, the Mechaber writes that Nosin Isha b'Purim, one is allowed to get married on Purim. In other words, that marriage is not a breach of V'samach v'chagecha v'lo v'ishtecha. The Taz raises the issue of whether one can have a single Suda for a Sudas Nisuin as well as a Suda of Purim. Maybe that's a breach, a violation of a Marbin Simcha v'Simcha. But aside from the Suda issue, so you'll have separate Sudas. In principle, there's nothing wrong with marriage, right, on Purim. The Mechaber writes the Chiddush, Kol Dine Avelus Nohagin b'Purim. Avelos can't coexist on Pesach. After all, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, which overrides Avelos. Not true when it comes to the case of Purim. There are elements of Simcha, but it's not that the day is invested. The day is replete with Simcha to the extent that Simchas Purim and Avelos cannot coexist. So that's the Machlokas, the Mechaber and Ramah, but the Mechaber writes exactly that point, that elements of Avelos exist even when it comes to Purim itself. I'll give you a further example. When you look in the Ramah, Tafresh Sadi Gimel, the Ramah writes the following, that when you daven Mariv on Purim, you're obligated to say Al HaNisim in Shemoneh Esrei. Of course, no. You have to say Al HaNisim in Shemoneh Esrei. But you know, that's not so simple. What is the Chiddush L'Rama against the view of Rav Amram Gaon? Because if you look, for example, in the Hagos Maimonos, Hagos Maimonos is found in the very end of Hilchos Megillah, and also found in the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin. The Rav Amram Gaon writes the following Chiddush, that you know what, when you daven Maariv on Purim, you don't say Al HaNisim. That's the view of Rav Amram Gaon. Why should you not say Al HaNisim and Maariv only in Shachar Zemincha? Rav Amram Gaon writes very simply as follows, that the sum of Purim is its parts, the mitzvah sayom, the mitzvah sayom. When you daven Maariv, have you fulfilled any of the mitzvah sayom? Certainly not. You haven't had the Kriyas HaMegillah of yet. You certainly haven't had the Sudas, Purim, Shalach Manos, Matanos of Yonim. As of yet, the mitzvahs Sayyom have not begun. So what right do you have to say, right, Al HaNisim? That's the psak of Rav Amram Gaon. You know, imagine a person were to say to you as follows, that when you daven in Maariv on Pesach night, you haven't fulfilled any of the mitzvahs. You haven't eaten the matzah, you haven't eaten the maror, you haven't engaged in Sipur Yisiyas Mitzrayim. So don't say Yalav Yavo in Shemoneh Esrei. If you don't say Yalav Yavo, you wouldn't be Yotze. You'd have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei once again. What's the difference between Yalav Yavo and Al HaNisim? The answer is that contrast between Pesach and Purim. The answer is as follows. Aside from mitzvah sayam, if a person were to ask you, what is the nature, what is the character of Pesach? The answer is the mitzvah sayam. Well, there's a Kedusha Siyantif independent of Mitzvah Sayom. On Shavuos, you don't have additional Mitzvah Sayom, but certainly it's replete with a Kedusha Sayom on a level of Daraisa. But you know what? Purim was not established as a Yantif. On Purim, there are Mitzvah Sayom, so therefore that would beg the following question. At a time that as of yet you have not fulfilled the Mitzvah Sayom, is there a real special character to these particular days? That's the Chiddush of Rav Amram Gaon, that without Mitzvah Sayom there is no Al HaNisim. Even to the extent that on the day of Purim, when it comes to Maariv, you haven't yet had an opportunity to fulfill Mitzvah Sayom, you haven't read the Megillah, you haven't fulfilled any other mitzvah, as such, you do not recite Al HaNisim. And we argue that no, that it's a day which is invested with Mitzvah Sayom, and that warrants the recitation of Al HaNisim. But interestingly,
according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, that Chayav Likros Megillah Balayla.
Right.
But that changed the whole concept.
Right. So we certainly there is a Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, but the Chiddush of Rav Amram Gaon is until you have a Kriyas HaMegillah, you cannot recite Al HaNisim. First you have to have like the Sipur HaNeis, and afterwards you can have the special bracha. So we do read the Megillah at night, but until then you don't recite Al HaNisim, and we don't assume that way. That's the Chiddush Rama, even in Maariv, even in Laila, we recite Al HaNisim. But the Magen Avraham does quote this in the following context. The Rama, the Magen Avraham in Tafrei Study Vav, as follows: Purim Katan. The Lavush writes the following Chiddush, that you say Al HaNisim in other Rishon, not only in other Sheni, in other Rishon as well. After all, isn't other Rishon also to an extent Purim? You know, when the Gemara debates in the very beginning of Maseches Megillah, when do you read the Megillah? An other Rishon or an other Sheni? Machlokes Tanaim. You know, I would have said as follows. You know, what is the real Purim? Tell me when the real Purim is, and that's when you read the Megillah. The Gemara says no. That according, let's say, Machlokes Tanaim, if you assume that you read the Megillah an other Rishon, why? Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. Look, you have an opportunity to perform mitzvah now. What right do you have to wait a month? Or we wait until Adar Sheni. Why? Mismach Ku'ula Begula Adif. It's better to narrow the gap between Pesach and Purim. So I would ask you, look, I understand Mismach Ku'ula Begula Adif. So why don't you read the Megillah Erev Pesach? The answer is Erev Pesach is not Purim. Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. So read the Megillah 2 months before. That's not Purim. In other words, both are candidates for Purim. Now, once both are legitimate options, now you can invoke the principle of Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvos. Now you can invoke the principle of Mismach Gulu Galadir. But clearly, if one was really the Adar and one was not Adar, you could not argue Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos. For example, the Vonnegut maintains a person has a yard site. In Adar, now it's a leap year, you should commemorate the yard site both days. Both are really Adar. Vaharaya, the Gemara writes, both are candidates for Kriyas HaMegillah, if not for Ein Mavirin, if not for Mismach Ulu Gula Adiv. So that's the Chiddush that Rav Hirsch writes, that even in Adar Rishon, you should say Al Nisan. But look, for Kriyas HaMegillah, we're going to wait until Adar Sheni, but undeniably, there's a heightened status even to Purim Katan as well. So the Magen Avraham points out, we don't have Paskim that way. We don't say Al Nisan in Adar Rishon, Purim Katan. And the Magen Avraham writes, in Tafri Study above, he cites Rav Amram Gaon. Rav Amram Gaon writes, as we just mentioned, you don't even recite Al Nisim during Mariv, because Al Nisim without mitzvos, how can that be? See, even though we don't go as far as Rav Amram Gaon, because we assume that it is a day which is invested with mitzvos, but if you have a day that is Purim without the mitzvah sayom of Purim, like Purim Katan, don't say Al Nisim. It doesn't have that quality. In other words, Purim without the mitzvah sayom, what exactly does that mean? Or I'll give you right, another example. The Mechaber discusses Tafresh Peches. What happens if Tesvav, Purim in Yerushalayim, falls out on Shabbos? So that's where you have what the Shacharach describes as a Purim Meshulas. No, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. Good. So what exactly do you do? So the Mechaber writes as follows. The Thursday night and Friday, a Kriyas HaMegillah. A Kriyas HaMegillah. Good? Suda, Sunday. What about Shabbos? The Shacharach writes, Al Nisim. So if you look in Beis Yosef, the Mechaber has a lengthy discussion. Is that really possible? On Shabbos, you recite Al Nisim. Al Nisim without a Sudas Purim? Al Nisim without a Kriyas HaMegillah? Kriyas HaMegillah was Thursday night and Friday. Sudas Purim is on Sunday. Shabbos is Al Nisim. You know, if Purim would have a Kedusha Sayom, obviously, you say the Mein Amori, independent of Mitzvah Sayom. But given this whole concept that the mitzvah siyam are essential. That's what the Beis Yosef discusses. Beis Yosef writes that he was tempted to argue that on Shabbos you don't say Al Nisim, because you don't have the mitzvah siyam. But Beis Yosef writes that he came upon a ksavyav of the Kadmonim that insists that you say Al Nisim on Shabbos, and the Purim Meshulash, and he deferred to that view of the Kadmonim. An interesting finish, but the Beis Yosef grapples with this issue. Purim without Mitzvah Sayom. One could envision Yantif without Mitzvah Sayom, Shavuos without Mitzvah Sayom, Pesach without Mitzvah, but not necessarily Purim. Maybe Purim is the sum of its parts in the sense of Mitzvah Sayom, but not necessarily Kedushas, Kedusha Sayom. I'll give you an example. When it comes to Yantif, we recite Shechiyanu. Why do we recite a Shechiyanu on Yantif? You know what the answer is? A twofold kingdom. Number one, if they're Mitzvah Sayom, these are mitzvos which are Einan Tadiros. How often do you sit in the Sukkah? How often do you know Todalad Minims? Therefore, the Mitzvah Sayom requires the bracha of Shechiyanu. But aside from Mitzvah Sayom, Kedusha Sayom requires a bracha of Shechiyanu. These are two sugyas. Now, Mitzvah Sayom is a sugyan Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav. Kedusha Sayom is a Sukkah and Erevin and Daf Mem. But we have a twofold Shechiyanu. When you recite Shechiyanu on the night of Sukkot, the Shechiyanu has a dual reference. Number one, the mitzvah of Sukkah. Number two, the Kedusha Sayom of Sukkot. Let's assume for whatever reason a person does not have a Sukkah on the first night of Sukkot, he's still going to say a Shechiyanu. The Shechiyanu for the Kedusha Sayom of Sukkot. So you know what? The first time he sits in the Sukkah, he's going to recite Shechiyanu on the mitzvah of Sukkah. Our Shechiyanu covers both the mitzvah of Sukkah, the Kedusha Sayom. It's not going to cover Lulav, because the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog is not going to begin at night, but rather only the next morning. So the next morning we're going to repeat the bracha of Shechiyanu for the mitzvah of Lulav. But you have Shechiyanu on Kedusha Sayom as well as mitzvah Sayom on Yom Kippur. You don't have any mitzvahs Hayom, so you know what? You're going to recite Shechiyanu at night. On Yom Kippur you don't have even a Kiddush. So we're going to recite a Shechiyanu, the language of the Gemara Ered Daf Mem, Omer Afilu B'Shuk. You say it in the street. In other words, without any mitzvah, without any kos, without any kiddush, you just make a bracha of Shechiyanu to mark Kedushas Hayom. So if a person, for example, wouldn't have a sukkah, you would still tell them to make a Shechiyano on the Kedushas Hayom of Yantif. And what about when it comes to Purim? That's a discussion in Bir Halacha, Tafresh Sadibay. Can you make a Shechiyano, so to speak, on the status of the day when it comes to Purim? Let's assume a person, for whatever reason, is not fulfilling the mitzvah seyom. The Miri discusses Shabbos Chof Gimel. Let's say it's Hanukkah and a person is on an island someplace. He's not lighting Ner Hanukkah. He doesn't see Ner Hanukkah. Can he make the bracha of She'asanisim and Shechiyanu? Obviously, he can't make a bracha of Lahadlik. But can he make the bracha of Shechiyanu? Can he recite the Birchas HaShevach LaZman HaZeh? Or do we argue, you know what, Zman HaZeh is when you have a Kedushas Hayom, but not necessarily true when it comes to Purim, not necessarily true when it comes to cases of Hanukkah. So fascinating that Hanukkah, Purim, does not necessarily have invested in it that sense of a Kedushas Hayom. And therefore, perhaps not, on the mitzvah of Kriya Samagila, or one will even have in mind on the balance of the mitzvah seyom, you can recite a bracha of Shechiyanu, but without the mitzvah seyom, not to recite the bracha of Shechiyanu at that particular time. These are the marked differences between Pesach as opposed to Purim. On Pesach there's Kedusha Seyom, a full mitzvah of Simcha. Simcha which is Sosra Avevel, Simcha that develops the entire day. Not necessarily true when it comes to cases of Purim. There are elements of Simcha, but not necessarily the full-blown experience of the Samach Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. I would suggest as follows, that all of this is incredibly mediyuk in the Pasuk. In other words, that it was thought initially that Purim would be Yantif Terabanu. And therefore there will be an Isra Malacha on Purim. And therefore, if I were to ask you on Pesach, which is a function of which? Simcha, Suda. Which is primary, which is secondary? I argue we begin with the mitzvah of Simcha. And as a function of Simcha, you're obligated to engage in Achila in Shtiya. So therefore, if I were to ask you to order, right, Simcha and Nishta, you would tell me, on Yantif, Simcha, Mishta. No? Simcha first. And as a function of Simcha, then Mishta. On Purim, the Rambam's heading, Kesach Chovas Sudazu. Simcha doesn't envelop the entire day. In other words, that there the Mishta is a function. Simcha is a function of Mishta. No? Then the order is incredibly mediocre in the Psukim. That initially, when it was thought that Purim would be a Yantif, then Simcha Mishta, the Yantif. Once that was not true, that there was no Isra Malacha on Purim, it was not instituted as a Yantif, Dirabanan, you know what? That did not only impact on Isra Malacha, that affected the nature of Simcha and the nature of Suda. And therefore, Mishter Simcha says, not merely is Yantif omitted, but the order is switched as well. We begin with Ketzar Chavasudazu, Mishten, as a function of Mishte, then there's an element of Simcha. One could suggest as follows. You know, we just mentioned, when it comes to Yantif, there's a full mitzvah of Oneg. You have to have a Suda, which is Alapas. And if a person would forget to say, Yalav Yavi, you'd have to be Chozer. What about Sudas Purim? For a Sudas Purim, if Purim was a Yantif, you'd have to have Pas. Now that Purim is not a Yantif, so in such a case, is there a Chiyuv Tepas for Isudas Purim? When you look in that Rambam, the Rambam mentions a person should have a Suda Noe, you should have a very festive meal, there has Basar Yayin and the like. The Rambam never mentions any obligation of Pas. In other words, what's driving this is elements of Simcha. Simcha doesn't require Pas, like Chalamoi. Simcha does not require Pas. Oneg requires pas, but there's no mitzvah of oneg when it comes to Purim. And therefore the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tefillah, if a person on Purim would forget Al HaNisim, you don't have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. Either is a Chi of Suda, but not the Chi of Suda. Al HaPas, there's one view in the Meiri. The Meiri is found in Beis of HaTezvav, that writes, if you forget Al HaNisim, you have to be Chozer for a Suda's Purim. We do not pass in that way. You do not have to be Chozer. After Magen Avraham writes, you forget Al HaNisim Shmon Esrei, you don't have to be Chozer. Well, certainly forget In benching, you have to be chozer. Al Chol HaMoed, for example. You forget in Shemoneh Esrei, you must be chozer. You forget in benching, you don't have to be chozer. Now, benching is not more chomer than tefillah. So on Purim, that you do not have to repeat if you omit Al HaNisim. In tefillah, you don't have to repeat if you omit Al HaNisim. In benching, there is a myriad of those mentioned that disagrees. But that also is consistent. In other words, if Purim would have been established as a yontif, so as such would have a full mitzvah of simcha, full mitzvah of oneg, that would require a sudas yontif, pas. No, mishta does not necessarily, as the Rambam writes, require absolute pas. And as such, one is not chozer for al yisim, a mitzvah sakhila, but not necessarily a full few sunda. There's a minchas tinoch in Shin Yud Gimel that writes, interesting, the same thing perhaps is true when it comes to achil achila on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur, the Gemara writes, Newman da fe aleph, one is obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Kol ha ochel b'chi. Well, the nismas nafshasecha b'stishel ha-chodesh v'erev, already on the 9th, one is obligated to eat. When Chassina writes that achil is necessary, but you don't have to have a suda ahapas, because after all, there's no mitzvah oneg on Erev Yom Kippur, and he compares it to Purim. You can have a mitzvah sachila without necessarily a chiyuv of suda al hapas. And therefore, generally speaking, our practice is to wash for suda spurim, but mikra hadin, the Rambam writes that pas is not considered to be necessary. An interesting chiddush. In other words, the fact that Purim is not yontif impacted not only in Nisr Malacha, but on the quality of Simcha and even on the nature of Sud as well, as indicated by the juxtaposition of Simcha and Mishnah. Why exactly is this true? Why is it that there is a tempered mitzvah of Simcha when it comes to Purim that is not true when it comes to Pesach? I think the answer is as follows. What is the definition of Simcha? Simcha always is Samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, a person who finds himself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lifnei Hashem. It is not at all coincidental that on Yontif there is a mitzvah of Simcha and there is a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Simcha means, right, Hashros Hashchina, V'Samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. That is exactly the point of that element of Simcha. Simcha in that particular fashion. And therefore, on Yontif, Simcha is fully appropriate. That is the Yontif experience, leaving one's home, ascending to Yerushalayim, Hashras Hashchina. That's exactly why, as mentioned, the Gemara's point, Kotna Daf Yedaled, that Simcha and Avelos cannot coexist. Because one cannot experience Avelos when one is Bifnei Hashem. Avelos indicates a measure of Hester Fanim. And therefore, Simcha and Avelos cannot coexist. The Gemara writes the following chiddush, that a Kohen Gadol never has Nihuge Avelos. The Gemara might cut in Daf Yadal. Why is that true? Because a Kohen Gadol, B'Shar Yimos Hashanes, Ki Yisrael B'Regel Danya. What exactly does that mean? That every day is a Yantif for a Kohen Gadol? No, every day a Kohen Gadol is Bifnei Hashem. A Kohen Gadol is always in the Mikdash Hashem. Daily, the Kohen Gadol offers the Minchas Chavitim. That's the experience of Kohen Gadol. And as such, he is always Bifnei Hashem. Bifnei Hashem. Right? That contradicts any aspect of Avelos. And therefore, that is the message of Simcha. The Samach Bifnei Hashem Elokecha. That cannot be when it comes to Purim. Because the experience of Purim is not one of the samachta lifnei Hashem Elokech. If anything, Purim represents the exact opposite. Purim for us is an acknowledgement of Hester Panim. Whereas when it comes to a typical Yontif, Yontif is characterized by Nisim Gluy and Pesach, Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem Yilachem Lachem. Now, when it comes to Purim, Nisim Nistarim, everything was done in such a covert fashion. Right? One could read the psukim of the Megillah and not even acknowledge the Shem Hashem. One could experience Purim without recognizing Hashkachas Hashem. That's the challenge of Purim. That's what the Gaon points out in the very beginning of his Pirush Megillah Esther, the uniqueness of Purim. is recognizing Hashkachas Hashem amid Hester Banim, not in times of Nisim Guyim. So if Purim is supposed to represent that sense of Hester Banim, how can you argue that there is a full-blown mitzvah of Simcha v'samach b'lifnei Hashem Elokecha? That cannot be. And therefore, one could argue at most elements of Simcha, but not a pervasive Simcha that envelops the entire day on Purim. Simcha and Hester Panim do not coexist in that fashion. You know, Rav is the one who tells him, Megillah Dav Zayin, that Mechayiv Inish L'Nesud B'Paraya Adol Yada. A person is obligated to drink on Purim. As the Rambam writes, you drink in a measured way. The Rambam prefaces Kesach Chovas Sudazu in the context of Sudas Purim, not unbridled, but rather in that limited scope, that limited context. Rav is the one Chayiv Inish L'Nesud B'Paraya, drinking. Now, when you think about that, maybe one would say, no, if one is obligated to celebrate, one is obligated to drink, no, isn't that an indicator of Simcha? Isn't that Simchas Purim? In truth, I would argue that the opposite is true. The opposite is true. Now, you know, I haven't seen this, but I would almost question a stira in Rava. Rava Dav Zayin ordains, Chayiv Inish L'Nesud B'Paraya, a person is obligated to drink. Okay. Rav a little bit later, Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, why is it that you don't have Kriya Sahalel on Purim? Why don't you recite Hallel? So the Gemara has three possibilities. One possibility is you don't recite Hallel in Eis Mechuslaitis. Another possibility is Kriyasa Zui Halela. Kriyasa Megillah is Hallel. Another possibility is that no, that Purim does not warrant Hallel because Akate Avde Achashverosh Hashanah. Right? The Yeshua of Purim. Measured. There was a Yeshua, there was a partial Gula, but nonetheless, we still suffer today. Today also we're in Golos. Akate Avde Achashverosh Hashanah. The very serious side of Purim. The Hester Panim of Purim. Who is the Baal HaMemra? Who is the one who says that you don't recite Halan Purim because Akate Avde Achashverosh Hashanah? None other than Rava. Rava Daf Yedalet Amud Aleph. Rava says you cannot recite Hallel. You know, Hallel, the Ramban writes, is a function of Simcha. Every Yontif, you're obligated to recite Hallel. Well, the Baha'i counts Hallel as a mitzvah. The Ramban questions, what is the mitzvah deraisa of Hallel? The Ramban answers, Simcha. There's a mitzvah deraisa of Simcha. And Simcha and Hallel go hand in hand. And therefore Rava says, no Hallel when it comes to Purim. But how is that appropriate? There is no full mitzvah of Simcha and Purim. Akate Avdei Chashver Shanan. And you know what? Rav is exactly the one who says, Zayin Lebeis, Chayiv Vinish L'Mesud B'Paraya, Adlai Yonda, when it's obligated to drink. How do you understand these two statements of Rav? Now, no Hallel, but when it's obligated to go ahead and to be festive. Now, to celebrate on Purim. And I would suggest that not only is this not a contradiction, but it's exactly the chiddush of Rava. When there's real simcha, simcha is v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Simcha means a person who finds himself in the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, you don't have to look back that far. Yesterday is Kriyas HaTorah. Now, a person finds himself in the Mikdash Hashem, the Kohen who is in Mikdash, the Kohen is doing Avoda, Yayin v'Sheichar Al Teish. There's an Isser. There's an Isser of Shtiya. Now, the Kohen will drink wine and proceed to do Avoda. Right, an Isser Daraisa, the Kohen is Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim, V'lo Samus Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim. In other words, when a person finds himself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is pure, pristine Simcha. Any other type of stimulus is forbidden me daraisa with a chiyuv misa b'nei shamayim. Now, the simcha is the simcha of being bifnei Hashem. Perhaps one could suggest an interesting chiddush, precisely because Rava maintains that akate avdei Achashverosh Hashanah, the simcha Purim is so limited. This is not a simcha of v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, but rather akate avdei Achashverosh Hashanah. Here, in order to mark the fact that akate avi achashverosh hanan. One is required to do that which is absolutely off limits when one finds himself bitnei Hashem, and that is chayiv inish lemedusume. The pariah adoyada. That's not an indicator of simcha. That's an indicator of hester panim. That perhaps is the chiddush of Rava. Right. So drink. Right. So the Rambam writes yoser meaning muda to drink a little bit more than one would do so. But again, that in the literal sense of Rava, that is the challenge. That's the difficulty. Now, how do you experience simcha, acknowledging a sense of hester panim, simchin galus? The answer is that experience requires a certain measure of an adoyada. It's an interesting possibility. Maybe that's the confluence of those two statements that you find of Rava, precisely acknowledging that particular point, and therefore no halo. And even according to Rav Nachman, halo kriyasa zuhalayla, no overt halel, but a concealed halel. Remember, Rosh Weiss once commented that just as the nisim of Purim are concealed in Hester Panim, our hodah, so to speak, our halel, is a covert hodah as well. Where is the halel? The answer is somewhat hidden, somewhat eclipsed, that kriyasa zui halel. What exactly does that mean, that the nisim are somewhat hidden, our halel was hidden? I would suggest really as follows. There's a certain challenge that applies to Purim, which is even more difficult than that of Pesach, and that is, look, our goal is recognition of Hashkachas Hashem. The Ramban writes in the Parshas Bo, that is our life's goal. Ein lekel elyon chefetz betachtonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no other desire of man, movad shiyeda ha'adam v'yoda lelokav shebra'o. What is our mission in life? Yeda v'yoda. No. Recognize Hashkachas Hashem and acknowledge, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that He has done. A fascinating comment. Now that Ramban has, right? The person asks, what is your mission in this world? The answer is two words. Yeda v'yoda. Now, recognize Hashkachas Hashem and manifest. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anisacha shabachol yom imanu. That's everything that we do. Now the Ramban writes, recognition of. So therefore, when it comes to Nisim Gluyim, it's obvious to recognize Hashkachas Hashem. No? A person sees Kriyas Yamsuf. So, you don't have to ask any questions. No. Who, what, where, context, perspective. Immediately, you recognize that this is a Neis Nigla. When it comes to Nisim Nisarim, the challenge is much, much greater. Now, things have their natural course. And that exactly, the Ramban writes, then the Parshas Bo. Isn't it more likely that we're going to dismiss all this as being natural occurrences? And that's what the Ramban writes, of course not. What do you mean natural? What does natural mean? Everything is a result of Hashgachas Hashem. Everything in life is an ace. Either Nisim Gluyim or Nisim Nistarim. And that's what the Ramban writes, the entire purpose of an ace Nigla is to hone one's vision to appreciate Nisim, Hanistarim. You know, when you witness a Kriyas Yamsuf, it gives you a different view, a different perspective on life. Not everything is a result of Hashkachas Hashem. And that is the purpose, the Ramban writes, of Nisim Gluyim, of Nisim Gluyim, to hone one's vision, to appreciate Nisim Nistarim. But you know, more difficult to appreciate Nisim Nistarim? A person can read a pasuk of the Megillah without recognizing Hashkachas Hashem. You read the Makos, you read Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashkachas Hashem is obvious. You read a pasuk, the Megillah, a natural occurrence. To recognize Nisim Nistarim, you require perspective. Right? You require comprehensive vision. You know, you read the Megillah from beginning to end, so undeniably you recognize Hashkachas Hashem when you see the sequence of events. But when you see the event in and of itself, it's easy to dismiss. Easy to dismiss. No? Nisim Nistarim require breath, require perspective. It requires a more panoramic view than the Neis Nigla. You know, perhaps that's part of what the Mechaber means. The Mechaber writes, Tuf Reish Sadi, that before you read the Megillah, Bet Sibor, like, Korei says the Megillah Kedei Lefarsim HaNeis. You have to open up the Megillah. No? You can't just read that which is in front of you. You can't just read that line. Perhaps that's exactly this message, you know? When it comes to an ace nigla, you don't require any perspective. Who, what, where, you see a Kriyas Yamsuf, this is an ace. The story of Purim unfolds. It requires a certain breadth of vision. It requires a perspective from beginning to end. And therefore, the Mechaber writes, the real Purim Issa is opening up the entire Megillah, well, from beginning to end, to see that which is before you as the story unfolds. That is the Pirsum HaNeis. That's the challenge of Nisim Nistarim. And that is a difficult challenge, to recognize Hashkachas Hashem, even in times of Hester Panim. And in that sense, there's something that Purim has that a regular Yontif doesn't have. The challenge of Yontif is recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mikdash, recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Nisim Gluyim, right? There's a Medrash Shachar Tov that tells us the following, that Kol HaMoadim HaSidim Libata, that Lassi Lavo, our commemoration, our celebration is going to change. Because you know what? Yontif commemorates Nisim Gluyim. And Lassi Lavo, when we have to mark Nisim Gluyim, we're not going to have to look back at Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's exactly the Shita of Ben Zoma, that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim will not apply Lahavi the Mosa Mashiach. Ben Zoma cites a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Hine Yamim Ba'im Ne'um Hashem Lo Yomar Od. When those days happen, we're not going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what happened thousands of years ago. We're going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Gula Asida. But the Medrash Shachar Tov writes, not true when it comes to Purim. The lesson of Purim is enduring. Even Lassi Lavo, Chuasam Hayisa. Now the Megillah tells us the Zichram Lo Yasuf Mizaram, that's enduring. Why? Because we're going to experience great Nisim Gluyim, but to be mindful of the lesson of Nisim Nistarim, we're still going to have to point to Purim. That's not going to be substituted by the Nisim Gluyim that we experience in the Gula HaSidu. And therefore, Shuas and Yisrael and Etzach, sure, that lesson, that's an enduring message, the quality of Purim that exists perhaps even above and beyond a typical time of Yontif. Because if one is able, no doubt, to master that challenge of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisim Nistarim, so in such a case, that means that in every facet of life, one is able to go ahead and to recognize in that sense, Yeshua Hashem. And that is part of that experience of Purim. That's the relationship, of Nisim Gluyim and Nisim Nistarim. Perhaps that's exactly the Chiddush of Shimon Gamliel. You have two options for Kriyas HaMegillah, or the Rishon Rosheni, but Mismach Geula Gula Adif. You have to narrow the gap between Pesach and Purim, because that is exactly the lesson, the relationship of Nisim Gluyim and Nisim Nistarim. So if you have an option of leaning the Megillah in closer proximity to Pesach, that takes precedence even over Eim Avirin Ala Mitzvos. And therefore, as we do, you go ahead and wait until Adar Sheni. This is part of the uniqueness of our Purim experience, to be able to recognize Hashgachas Hashem in a time of Hester Panim, and that is a much more difficult challenge than when it comes to other times of Yom Tov. So at once, Purim is a time where the mitzvah of Simcha is somewhat hidden from us. And perhaps that's exactly the lesson of Purim, that just as the Nisim Purim were covert. So therefore, our acknowledgement of the Nisim, and our chiyuv of Shevach v'Hodah, that doesn't require a Hallel. One is not allowed to recite Hallel each and every day. But yet, as the Ramban writes, each and every day acknowledging Hashkafas Hashem, that's vital. Shiyeda v'shiyode. And how is that done? That's done even without an absolute halal. That's done in a more covert fashion. In the sequence of day-to-day life, that the manner in which a person lives, a person governs, a person serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is an implicit Kriyasa Zui Halel, an implicit Halel, in every aspect of life. Halel is not limited to the Yurches Yamim, Shigomra Malavis Halel. But Halel, is part of the daily experience, not the Halel of Nisim Gluyim, but the Halel of Nisim Nistarim. And that is part of the challenge that we experience when it comes to Purim. That's the stunning contrast, of Purim and Pesach. But just as the Nisim Gluyim shed light not only on those occurrences, but, as I mentioned, it forms one's vision for Chishei Nisim Nistarim as well. So therefore, that is part of the relationship of Pesach and Purim, Mismach Geula, Lagula Adiv, to be able to appreciate, right, that sense. The word Nes has a twofold meaning. On the one hand, Nes means a fellow, something which is miraculous. But Nes also has a very different meaning. That is a flag, a banner, an indicator. Now, the sun Nes, a kabez galiyosainim. Now, a Nes means something that indicates. Nisim guluyim are miraculous indicators. Now, they're miracles, but they indicate. They indicate, as the Ramban writes, that everything is a result of Hashgachas Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't perform Nisim for the moment. Now, the Nes Nigle is an ongoing lesson that a person can always refer to in terms of, right, Hashgachas Hashem. This is part of the challenge of Purim. The uniqueness of Purim, the Hester Panim. The ability that we have to recognize Hashgachas Hashem, maybe that's the greatness of Kimo V'Kibul. Acknowledging Hashgachas Hashem and reaffirming one's commitment to the Torah Hashem, even in times of Hester Panim, as opposed to the Osos and Mofsim, the Kolos of Rakim of Kabbalah Satorah, there was a certain measure of kfiyah, of coercion. How can you deny Hashgachas Hashem if you're present at Mamad Har Sinai? But precisely in the time of Hester Panim, to be able to reaccept the Torah Hashem, to recommit, to reaffirm, right, that sense of Kabbalah Satorah, that was the uniqueness, the greatness of Knesset Yisrael at that particular time. The theme of Kabbalah Satorah, the Shultos Reis and Shultos Samachal, that the reason you have a Sugas Purim is a Suda for Kabbalah Sator, for the response of Knesset Yisrael, just like you have a Suda at Mamad Har Sinai, Vayechez Asokim Vayochul Vayishtil, just as the Gemara writes, Mesachon HaSamaches, you have to have a Suda on Shavuos because of Kabbalah Sator. After all, the Medrash Rabbah writes in Shir Hashem, Mikan Sha'osin Mishta Legomer Shel Torah, that is what is driving a Sudas Purim. Not Simchas Yantif, but that element of Kabbalah Satara. It's always an enduring lesson. Not only, right, the celebration of Purim, but the aftermath of Purim. And the transition, right, of Purim to Pesach, from the experience of Nisim Nistarim, right, and the experience of Pesach, which is Hashem Yilachem Lachem, that Nisim Guyim. It's important always to be mindful. If one can master this lesson, right, of Purim, that really is Chilasa Mayisa Lanetzach. It becomes an ongoing, infinite lesson to be able to recognize Hashgachas Hashem in times of history.
What's the connection between